Well, this morning we come to the fifth in our series of talks where we're looking together at the Old Testament book of Zechariah. I have a friend and he is a big fan of Doctor Who. In fact, when it comes to Doctor Who, he's, I think the technical phrase is, a bit of an anorak. Loves Doctor Who. And Doctor Who is an imaginary time machine. And when you step inside the TARDIS, you can travel in time. You can go back in time. And you can go forward in time. Well, as we are coming this morning to the book of Zechariah, we're going to see that Zechariah is a bit of a TARDIS. Now, there's a picture to keep in your mind when you think of Zechariah. It's like a TARDIS. Because this is a book that takes us back in time. Not into some kind of imaginary world, but back in real time to a point in real history. The city of Jerusalem, just over 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But hold on to your seats. Because as we're going to see this morning, the book of Zechariah at times also propels us forward in time. I think all of us are very familiar with that idea that the Bible takes us back in time. That the Bible has us thinking about things that happened a long time ago. But what I also want us to see this morning is that there's a huge emphasis in the Bible about stuff that hasn't happened yet. The Bible and the book of Zechariah doesn't just have us going back in time, it has us going forward in time. The immediate context of today's talk is found in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. You might like to turn to those verses, we're not reading them, but this is on page 953. During the period of time known as the exile, God's people, the Jews, had regularly fasted. Fasting had been part of their worship and part of their lives together. And the reason that they fasted during the exile was that the exile was a terribly difficult time. And they fasted as a sign of their sadness at the circumstances they were in, but they also fasted as a sign of their earnestness. Their earnestness to seek God in a difficult time. But now the people had returned to the promised land. The temple was being rebuilt. And so a group of these recently returned exiles, they're mentioned in verse 2, asked the question, is it time to stop fasting now? In other words, they were asking, is the exile over? Are we now at a point in our lives where we can move on and where we can decidedly forget about the past? Well, in chapter 7 and 8, we find Zechariah answering that question. This was a new moment in the life of God's people. Geographically, they were back in Jerusalem. Practically, the building of the temple was underway. But it's at this moment that Zechariah told the people, the past mattered. In verses 4 to 14, Zechariah looks back. He looks back to that period of time when the Jewish people were living in exile. And even further back beyond that, and Zechariah delivers a damning verdict on what these days were like. In verses 5 to 7, he describes them as being days of empty religion. On the face of it, people were engaging in religious observance. They appeared to be giving God his place. They were fasting, they were singing, they were praying, they were turning up. But underneath it all, they were play acting. There was no substance. There was just a religious veneer. Empty religion. But secondly, Zechariah exposes Israel's past as being a past marked by self-centered actions. In verses 8 to 12, Zechariah paints an inward-looking picture of people and how the people had been living. With their mouths, they were praising God. But in their relationships with each other and in their actions towards each other, they had only been serving themselves. Justice, mercy, compassion. These were words that just weren't on the radar for these people. People who needed the help of others, widows, the fatherless, immigrants, those in poverty, they got no help at all from these apparently religious but self-absorbed people. Zechariah shines a light on Israel's past. A past of empty religion, a past of self-centered actions, and ultimately those things added up, verses 13 to 14, to make the past a place of God's judgment. Verse 12 puts it this way. The Lord Almighty was very angry. So at a point in the past, God had scattered his people and sent them into exile in Babylon. Now as they returned to Jerusalem from the promised land, Zechariah told the people that the past mattered. But secondly, and this takes us into chapter 8, Zechariah balances talk of the past by emphasizing to the Jews in Jerusalem that the future also mattered. In chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, Zechariah looked forward to a day when God would live among his people. Verse 3 of chapter 8 puts it this way. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. In spite of the rebuilding work, and although the work was still in many ways in ruins, and at best it was a mere shadow of what it had been, but Zechariah looked forward to an undefined point somewhere out there in the future when God would come to live among his people. And this would also be a day when God would be worshipped by his people. Verses 9 to 11 focus on the rebuilding of the temple. And in the Old Testament, the temple at its root is all about worship. A place where ordinary people could come to acknowledge the reality and submit to the claims of an extraordinary God. Zechariah wanted the people to know that the future mattered. A future where God would dwell among his people, where he would be worshipped by his people, but ultimately a future to come where at some point on the horizon, God would come to bless his people. Chapter 8, verses 12 to 23 are rich with the language of future blessing. I want to read those verses now. This is Zechariah chapter 8. We're on page 954. We were talking earlier about people in South Sudan who are homeless at the moment, who are exiles, who are living away from where they want to be. Just imagine the impact of words like this to people like that, because that's the kind of situation these people in Jerusalem were in. This was not a comfortable place. This was a difficult place. They're just back. And here's what Zechariah writes in chapter 8 and verse 12. He says, of a future day, the seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heaven will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I had determined to bring disaster on you and showed no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty, so now I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hear all this, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem and seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. The American Baptist pastor and writer John Piper uses the phrase future grace to describe how in the Bible there is a very big emphasis on what God promises to do for the good of his people in the future. And that is Zechariah's focus in the verses that we have just read. Using images of agricultural abundance, of harmonious relationships, of joyful festivals, spoke of a day in the future when in all kinds of ways God would bless his people and he would enable them to be a blessing. It's 518 BC. They're standing in the shelled out city of Jerusalem, and Zechariah speaks God's word to God's people. Looking back, he told the people that the past mattered. It had been a place of judgment, a place where the people had provoked God to anger and to judgment, and they were to learn from it. But looking forward, he told these same people that the future mattered. For those who would return to God, the future would be a place of blessing, and they were to prepare for it. Now you step inside your TARDIS and you fast forward 2,500 years. It's 2014. And here we are in Ballyhenry. How are we to apply what an Old Testament prophet said in an Old Testament context many, many years ago? Well, I believe the first thing that Zechariah tells us is that we are to know our past and to learn from it. We live in a part of the world where there is a lot of talk about the past, and depending on who you talk to, different dates and different events in the past are seen as being hugely significant in forming people's present identity. But friends, I want to suggest to you that when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves drawn into a story that reaches back many, many years. A story that carries us back all the way in our minds and in our hearts to the days of the Bible itself. When you become a Christian, your relationship with this book changes. This book is no longer just an account of history, but it becomes an account of your history. And we have much to learn from it, from the stories it contains, from the characters it introduces us to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 puts it this way. Holy Scripture, that's another phrase for the Bible, is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So here's a book that warns us away from empty religion. Here's a book that voices God's anger when our lives are marked by self-centered actions. And here is a book that warns us that God's anger and judgment are real and that we need to think about it. For God's people, the Bible contains our past. And it is important to get to know that past and to learn from it. But what is past is only half the story. Because I believe the second thing Zechariah tells us is that we are also to know our future and to prepare for it. Tony Campolo is a pastor and he is also what is known as a sociologist. He talks about how for people who are not Christians, their whole identity is shaped by where they are coming from. Their upbringing, their education, their politics, their background. These things and these things alone shape the identity of the person who's not yet a Christian. But when someone becomes a Christian, Tony Campolo says, a fundamental change takes place. The past is still significant. But what begins to matter even more is not where that person's coming from, but rather where that person is going to. If you are a Christian this morning, you are going somewhere. The very final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, which in terms of style, many people feel that it is in many ways draws richly on themes from particularly the book of Zechariah. And the book of Revelation sets before our eyes a vision. A vision of where we are going. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. This is on page 1238. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. If the Bible talks about your past, here's a part of the Bible that if you're a Christian, talks about your future. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Here is a vision of a real time in a real place yet to come. when God will dwell among his people, when he will be worshipped by his people, and when he will bless his people. And if you are a Christian this morning, this is your future. And we want to be ready for this day. The book of Zechariah reminds us that being ready doesn't just mean ticking a box and saying, I'm ready, and I can get on with my life. It means living now in a way that allows our identity, our relationship with God, our relationships with others, our priorities, our ambitions, even our attitude to suffering, to be shaped by the fact that we are going somewhere. Getting ready to meet the Lord, getting ready to live in his presence, getting ready to enter into all that he has for those who have lived waiting for him. But if you're not a Christian, there is still a future to come. A real time, a real place. But if we are not relying on Jesus as our Savior for that day, then meeting God face to face carries with it what the book of Hebrews refers to as only a fearful expectation of judgment. And so in conclusion, this morning we have seen how 500 years before the birth of Jesus, Zechariah reminded the people of Jerusalem that the past mattered. And we've seen how he urged them to learn from a past that had been marked by empty religion, by self-centered actions, and by an experience of the anger and the judgment of God. But we have also seen how Zechariah encouraged those same people to know that the future mattered. And so they were to prepare for a future where God would dwell among his people, where God would be worshipped by his people, and where God would bless his people. And so for us, a past recorded in the Bible, stories, characters, a precious resource given to make us wise. Wise for salvation. And also a future spoken of in the Bible. A real place. A real time yet to come. A powerful call to get ready. And to be ready for a day that will surely come.